Let's continue reading verses 15 through 34 of Genesis 43. Now, in the second half of Genesis 43, we have the brothers' second visit to Egypt and Joseph's further treatment and testing of his brothers. Genesis 43, beginning at verse 15. So the men took that present and Benjamin, and they took double money in their hand and arose and went down to Egypt, and they stood before Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, "Take these men to my home and slaughter an animal and make ready, for these men will dine with me at noon." Then the man did as Joseph ordered, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. Now the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, "Is it because of the money which was returned in our sacks the first time that we are brought in, so that he may seek an occasion against us and fall upon us to take us as slaves with our donkeys?" When they drew near to the steward of Joseph's house, they talked with him at the door of the house and said, "O sir, we indeed came down the first time to buy food. But it happened when we came to the encampment that we opened our sacks, and there each man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight. So we have brought it back in our hand. And we have brought down other money in our hands to buy food. We do not know who put our money in our sacks." But he said, "Peace be with you. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money." Then he brought Simeon out to them. So the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their donkeys feed. Then they made the present ready for Joseph's coming at noon, for they heard that they would eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house and bowed down before him to the earth. Then he asked them about their well-being and said, "Is your father well? The old man of whom you spoke, is he still alive?" And they answered, "Your servant, our father, is in good health. He is still alive." And they bowed their heads down and prostrated themselves. Then he lifted his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your younger brother of whom you spoke to me?" And he said, "God be gracious to you, my son." Now his heart yearned for his brother. So Joseph made haste and sought somewhere to weep. And he went into his chamber and wept there. Then he washed his face and came out. And he restrained himself and said, "Serve the bread." So they set him a place by himself, and them by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with them by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat food with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men looked in astonishment at one another. Then he took servings to them from before him. But Benjamin's serving was five times as much as any of theirs. So they drank and were merry with him. Once again, a few background notes. When the brothers visited Egypt the first time, Joseph gave them some rough treatment. He accused them of being spies and put them in prison for 3 days. Now, as we've already said, Joseph was not vindictive here, but he was testing the brothers to see if they had changed in 20 years. Now, when the brothers come to Egypt the second time, Joseph treats them with kindness. Simeon is released unharmed from prison. Remember, he had been held as security when the brothers went home after their first visit. Look at verse 24. So the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their donkeys food. And when they had the meal together, the brothers were served from Joseph's own table. Verse 34. Then he took servings to them from before him. But Benjamin's serving was five times as much as any of theirs. So they drank and were merry with him. They are being treated as honored guests. Now, why do you suppose Joseph gave Benjamin five times as much food as the other brothers? It was a further test. Joseph wanted to see if the brothers who had betrayed him were as jealous of Benjamin. Because you remember, Benjamin is the other son from Rachel, Jacob's favorite wife. This was all part of Joseph's test to expose the true heart of the brothers, to see if they had changed. Now, one more background note. In verse 32, we see that Joseph, as prime minister, ate at his own table, and the other Egyptians present ate at their own table, and the brothers had their own table. Because, as we read there, the Egyptians could not eat food with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. Now, here again, we have a detail which would indicate that Joseph came to power before the Hyksos time in Egypt. You see, the Hyksos people were Semitic and would not have had this eating problem with the Hebrews. So the indication here then is that Joseph is going along with the Egyptian culture before the time of the Hyksos. And that fits in with a conservative and high view of the biblical chronology. By the way, when Joseph arranged his brothers according to their age, how many different combinations do you think you can come up with by arranging 11 brothers? Believe it or not, 39,916,800. No wonder the brothers are astonished when they see they are arranged in chronological order according to their age. Well, quit wasting time on that, right? That's what you're saying? Let's move on to the doctrinal points. So doctrinal or teaching point number one, the fear of God should lead a person to repentance. The fear of God should lead a person to repentance. In verse 18, we read, "Now the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, is it because of the money which was returned in our sacks the first time that we are brought in, so that he may seek an occasion against us and fall upon us to take us as slaves with our donkeys?" Why were the brothers afraid here? Why did they jump to this unbelievable conclusion that Joseph wanted to steal their donkeys and make them slaves? The bottom line here is that they have a guilty conscience, and it's being further awakened. Fear and a guilty conscience go together. God has designed it that way, and it should lead a person to repentance. Illustration. You remember how it was when we were young children? If we did something wrong that our parents did not know about, we lived in fear. Everything that happened, we saw as a part of a scenario that was going to expose us. Everything that anyone said, somehow we related to our wrongdoing. We lived in fear because of our guilty conscience. Hopefully, this fear led us to repentance. That's what God intended. Maybe you're here this morning and you're living in fear right now because you've done wrong. Everything that happens around you and everything people say, even this message this morning, triggers the fear that you'll be exposed. Hopefully, this fear will lead you to repentance. Here in Genesis 43, this was not the first time the brothers were afraid. Look back at Genesis 42, verse 28. When they discovered the money in their sacks, we read, "Then their hearts failed them, and they were afraid, saying to one another, 'What is this that God has done to us?'" Notice how God is brought into the picture. That's why our doctrinal point is the fear of God should lead a person to repentance. That is, God has designed us so that fear and a guilty conscience go together. And that fear should lead us to repentance. It did so in the brothers' case, and it should do so in our case as well. You know, this is true for unbelievers who need to repent of sin and come to Christ as Savior. And it's also true of believers who need to repent of sin and be restored to fellowship. The fear of God should lead a person to repentance. Doctrinal point number two, the grace of God should lead a person to repentance. The grace of God should lead a person to repentance. God's grace is his unmerited favor and goodness and kindness toward us, even though we deserve nothing. Now, we certainly see the grace of God pictured here in Joseph's kind treatment of his brothers. Even back in chapter 42, during the rough treatment, there were glimpses and hints of Joseph's kindness. But now here in chapter 43, we see the obvious grace of Joseph on behalf of his brothers. When the brothers tried to pay back the money, Joseph's steward told them that their debt was paid. Certainly, Joseph had taken care of this. This reminds us of God's grace toward us, doesn't it? Our debt to God has been paid. God himself has paid it. And then look at the grace of Joseph extended to his brothers when he eats with them. The very brothers who betrayed Joseph, they were now totally under Joseph's sovereign power. But Joseph eats with them. Notice how they bowed down twice in this passage. This was certainly a fulfillment of Joseph's dreams. But Joseph does not rejoice in this. Rather, he asks about their welfare and the welfare of Jacob. What grace? Here, the brothers are under his sovereign control. He could do anything. What would you have done at that point? I kind of think I would have, ha ha, I got you where I want you now. Not Joseph. Grace. Then we see the heart of Joseph revealed as he had to leave the brothers in order to weep. Remember, we saw that same hard attitude back in chapter 42, verse 24. Notice what Joseph says to Benjamin in verse 29. God be gracious to you, my son. The mention of God here should have been a clue to the brothers that Joseph really cared for them. And also back in chapter 42, verse 18, we read there, then Joseph said to them the third day, do this and live, for I fear God. This was not an Egyptian God. This was the true God, the God of their fathers. Well, all of this grace was definitely changing the heart of the brothers. They were led to repentance, which paved the way for their reconciliation in chapter 45. In the same way, the grace of God should lead people to repentance today. Some people don't respond to the grace of God by repenting, but they should. Listen to Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? That's the way it should work. The grace of God should lead a person to repentance. Now, one practical application. Let's explain the true God to people who believe in false gods. Let's explain the true God to people who believe in false gods. Look back at verse 23. Notice what Joseph's Egyptian steward says to the brothers here. Peace be with you. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. Notice what he does not say. This Egyptian steward does not say, peace be with you. Do not be afraid. The Egyptian gods have taken care of your debt. He says, your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. Now, where did this Egyptian get the knowledge of Jacob's God, their God? One guess. Joseph. Joseph had explained the true God to this man, and apparently he had become a believer. Notice that Joseph did not take the attitude of, well, I'm not going to go around and upset the religion of this Egyptian. What right do I have to question this man's religious faith? Joseph knew the one and only true God, and he followed the Great Commission long before it was given. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every person. We should do the same. You know, I remember explaining the true God to a Muslim graduate student once. He thought Allah was the true God. Well, I'll never forget what he said to me after I explained to him the true God. He made this statement. If Jesus is God, then Allah is not God. You don't have to go to the foreign field to find people who believe in false gods. Let's explain the true God to people who believe in false gods.